The Stormont Expenses Regulator has accused the Assembly Commission of wrongly paying out money. It's a big thing to say, actually. The Assembly Commission is the cross-party group of MLAs that oversees how Stormont is run. And the accusation comes from the IFRP, the Independent Financial Review Panel, which sets pay and salaries for Assembly members. Alan McQuillan is from the IFRP. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Set this out for us. What's happened here?
Well, from our perspective, this started about 3 or 4 weeks ago. We've been doing work on our new determination for the new Assembly after the elections, and we decided to test that against some old data from the Assembly. They gave us a dump of data of payments that had been made, and we immediately identified a significant number of payments, maybe about 30 or 40, that we queried because we believed they were contrary to our determination. We're still waiting for a detailed response on that. But at the same time, we were also given a copy of a report from the London-based, the Westminster IPSA, who had been brought in by the clerk to the Assembly to do a review of the systems in Northern Ireland. That they had reported in November, and one of the issues they raised was concern about a system whereby an MLA who was aggrieved or concerned that their expenses were being rejected could go to the Commission, and the Commission would order the clerk to pay them.
So this is the Commission, this is the group of MLAs?
Yes. Now we.
So MLAs would order other MLAs to get money?
Yes. Now, the law on this is quite clear. We publish a determination. It is a matter for the Assembly to implement that determination. That's what the law says. We don't know how this system has operated. We don't know why these payments were made. We're still waiting for answers from the Assembly and the Commission. And we were amazed and astounded to hear on Friday that they had written to another MLA and told them that basically everything was cushy, everything was in line with our determination, when in our view, and we've been arguing with them for weeks, that it was not in line with our determination.
So spell out how it wasn't in line with your determination. So so we don't get lost in the technical detail here, right? Your body, one second, Alan. Your body is supposed to set pay and salaries for Assembly members and essentially determine who gets what, right? That it's within the rules.
Yes. And we do that. In this particular case that came up last week, when we were first formed, we were aware of concerns about payments from Sinn Féin MLAs to a particular company for research services. We looked at the whole range of expenses, and we issued a determination that came into force on the 1st of April 2012, and that said the only that put a ban on this type of expense. It said MLAs can only pay for research services if they're paying someone who they're actually employing. So, in other words, it's perfectly okay for an MLA to employ a researcher. What they can't go do is go out and let a contract for research. And that came into force on the 1st of April 12.
So were payments then made against your determination after the 1st of April 2012?
We understand that payments were made for 9 months after our determination.
Well, how come if you determined they shouldn't be?
We can't answer that. We make the rules, the Assembly implement them.
But you're the legal authority.
That we our remit is simply to set the rules. It is then a matter for the Assembly to implement them, and we cannot control what the Assembly does.
So you made a determination.
Yep.
You set the rules.
Yes.
I thought your body had total power handed to it. That's the whole point.
Well,
that MLAs would not be involved in setting their own pay, their own expenses. That it was to you to decide.
Well, that was the rules. Those are the rules. That is the law. That is the way the legislation passed by the Assembly is framed. And we set the rules. It is then for the Assembly to implement them. What we have found is that the Assembly has decided in these cases to pay these expenses to people. Now, the only response we have had from them so far is that some were matters of timing, some were matters of interpretation. We do not understand that. We've asked them for the details, but in our view, it's absolutely clear. It says in the determination, you cannot get money for letting contracts for people to do research for you.
I'm actually trying to work out in my head if I'm hearing this as I really am. So because let's remember that this is public money.
Yep.
And let's remember that the whole point of your entity, the IFRP, is to make sure that MLAs are not looking after themselves.
Yes.
It's that they're not favouring themselves. They're not taking money when they shouldn't have it. There is an outside body. That's your body.
Yes.
So your body on the 1st of April 2012 says, OK, stop paying that money in that way. And yes. The MLAs just continue to do it anyway.
Yes.
Well, is that not scandalous?
In my view, it's amazing. I mean, we were surprised to read this IPSA report to say that this system was operating, because we knew nothing about that. We have been operating for almost 5 years, and we had never been told that this appeal system had been created.
So was there a secret appeal system?
Well, let me put it to you this way, secret or not, the reality is nobody had ever told us that. Nobody had ever expressed any concern to us about the interpretation or difficulties of interpretation with our determination. It had all been worked out in detail with the Assembly officials, so there shouldn't have been any difficulties of interpretation.
Would you describe it as a secret appeal system?
Yes.
And who set up this?
Any other word for it? That when you do something and you don't tell people about it, and it's operated. Now, we don't know how it has operated because
Who set it up?
Well, the Assembly Commission did.
The MLA set it up for themselves.
Well, I assume so.
Because we need to walk through this every step so that it doesn't get too technical.
Yep.
So let's think this through. So the MLAs publicly say, do you know what? It would be wrong for us to set our own pay. It would be wrong for us to set our own expenses, so we're giving it to an outside body.
Yep.
Not only do they ignore what the outside body says, but then they set up what you've described as a secret appeal system, which can then usurp the outside body, and they look after themselves anyway, and they don't tell the public.
And if you read the Fresh Start document, they now plan to abolish us and replace us with a new, larger body, which will contain a number of former MLAs to improve the perspective on the role of the MLA when setting the expenses.
But how can there be an appeal system set up that the regulator doesn't know about?
That's the question we're asking.
What does this say about the Assembly?
Well, I think others are going to have to judge this. Maybe there is some rational explanation behind this. We have asked and we haven't had an answer. And our concern is that we are busy preparing another determination. Frankly, because of what we've seen in trying to do this for the last 5 years, we're being driven down a road of making it a very detailed and restrictive determination to minimise the chances of people getting around it. And again, I think you have to stay with them this, that, you know, many, many of the MLAs are decent, honest, straightforward people who just want to get on and do their jobs and have reasonable expenses for doing that and have their costs picked up. This isn't everybody at the Assembly, but there is a problem. And in my personal view, it revolves around not personal gain, but it's parties attempting to get money out of the system to fund the party machine, as opposed to run the MLA's constituency offices.
Well, the main controversy over research expenses has been about Sinn Féin MLAs paying £700,000 to Research Services Ireland over a 10-year period.
It has, and I think the BBC documentary did a great service in dealing with that and other things. But can I say, before 2012, none of that was illegal. None of that was against the rules. The rules were so lax that they allowed that sort of thing.
And what happened was the money came from their expenses for running their constituency offices.
Into this private company run by the finance officers of the party. And other parties did it differently. We had one other party that simply levied £7,000 a year charge on all its members for central expenses. Another party just charged them for running the party press office. And all the money that was supposed to go for constituency work and constituency expenses was hived off into the central party. We supposedly stopped all that in 2012, but it appears that some of these expenses continued on for a time.
the revelation yesterday was this continued for, what, 9 months?
Well, in the case of Sinn Féin, it continued for 9 months, but we first noticed
that... Maybe because there were outstanding contracts, to be fair to the Assembly.
Well, it could be, but the position is the law is straightforward. We sat down a determination that said from 1st April, none of these expenses are payable. Nobody ever said to us, oh, there are contracts outstanding. Nobody ever raised this issue with us. And the payments were made. So, 1st of April, there should have been a cut-off. The other issue is, it's not just Sinn Féin. And this started for us about 4 weeks ago. We were doing a review of expenses. We were testing stuff for the new determination. And we identified a significant number of payments that we believed to be outside the determination, including some other payments for researchers. A small number, a much smaller value, but for other parties as well. And we queried those as well as the Sinn Féin ones. We've found a number of cases where we believe there have been breaches of the determination.
So are you saying, in your view, has the law been broken?
When you say the law, the rules, the accounting rules of the Assembly, I think there's a question, have the accounting rules of the Assembly been broken?
No, the regulator makes a determination that public money should not be given and the public money is given anyway. Is that a breach of the law?
Which law? If you're talking about the criminal law, no, it's probably not. If you're talking about the law in relation to regularity and the payments and the accounts of the Assembly, it may well have.
What are you going to do now?
Well, we are waiting for a response from the Assembly.
So are we.
We have, all we can do is work on, create the new determination and deliver it to them. And then in May this year, June this year, our contracts end and we're out the door.
What's the point of you making determinations if they ignore them?
That's a good question. But, I mean, let's be honest.
Why don't the MLAs
don't ignore them.
But why don't,
the majority of the MLAs play it straight within the rules.
But why don't the MLAs who do ignore them, why don't they just publicly say, do you know what, we've got our hands in public money, we'll decide what we pay ourselves. Why don't they just do that? Why the smokescreen of having a regulator?
Well, every other public body in the UK has a regulator. We were set up in 2011 because of concerns that the MLAs in Northern Ireland were doing just that. And to be fair, the Commission at that stage made it clear to us that they wanted a complete hands-off approach from them. Along the road, somewhere, something changed. We don't know why or when. The system, in our view, could work well. We recommended to the Commission last year that they should set up a new body with a bit like the one in Ipsa or the one in Doyleren, that it actually paid the expenses as well as managing the rules. If you read Fresh Start, that has been now kicked out. MLAs want to continue with the existing system, are going to continue with the existing system, and we effectively cease to exist in approximately 2 months' time.
What do you make of that?
Well, I have already indicated to them that I don't wish to continue anyway, but I think that it's a question of whether the Assembly... This does immense damage to the integrity of the Assembly. It does immense damage to the public perception of the Assembly. And I think that's very sad because we all need this body to work.
If there was a regulator anywhere else in the UK saying that the integrity of the Assembly is seriously damaged, that would be on at the very top of a bulletin on the national news. That's how big a story this is. So you're the regulator. You're saying on Nolan this morning that MLAs, some MLAs, have set up a secret appeal system so that they can pay themselves money that the regulator has determined shouldn't be given. And you're saying that the integrity of the Assembly is seriously compromised.
I think it has the potential to compromise the integrity of the Assembly. Now, MLAs, the individual MLA making the claim, is doing what they can do to get the money they want. If the Assembly as a body approves that money, they have done nothing wrong. It is the Assembly. This is an issue about the control of the Assembly's finances and how that is managed and controlled.
Well, we need to follow. Surely what we need to do now And by the way, let me know what your reaction is at home to this. 0-30-30-80-55-55. 0-30-30-80-55-55. But surely, Alan, one of the first things we need to do, which will be discoverable, who set up the secret appeal system and why?
Well, it must have
That's
been
what we need to determine.
It must have been set up within the Assembly by the Secretariat and or the Commission.
But why didn't they tell the regulator?
Sorry, Steve?
Why didn't they tell the regulator?
I can't answer that.
But the regulator is there to protect public interests.
Well, no, this is not our remit. Our remit only extends to setting the rules. You see, they have designed a system whereby we only set the rules. We do not control the payments. And we recommended that our replacement body should both set the rules and control the payments. They decided against that. They want to keep control of the payments themselves.
They control their own payments?
Yes, and that's the way that the Commission has decided it's going to continue. That's a matter for them. We can't do that. All we can do...
What do you make of that? You're on your way out anyway, so what do you make of that?
We would have preferred a system. We thought it would have been better, more independent, more transparent.
So, come on. What do you make of the fact that they're controlling their own payments?
I think it should be an independent body. I don't think it should be done that way. And I think it's not in their own interest that they do that.
Alex and Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
No, I just find the whole story very surprising. I find it surprising when I watched the original Spotlight programme, where I think it was Sinn Féin were paying money to a research company and couldn't produce any research. And to find that for a long time that wasn't actually against the rules was really surprising. You know, the fact that they had to, and then the fact that they continued to pay the money after they changed the rules was, you know, but I think the whole system of allowances needs changed. You have situations like my own local constituency where one party has maybe four MLAs and they're all able to claim like about 70,000. You have an MP claiming for a constituency work another over 100,000. You know, how much money does one party need in one constituency? There should be some sort of sliding scale or a top level. But you can't leave it to the main parties in the Assembly to work it out. Because they seem to be the ones that are benefiting most from this.
Al McCullen, how much does each MLA get?
I think it's about 67,000 at the moment for expenses. But let's be clear about that. That's not money going to the MLA. That covers staff costs, office rentals. They have to produce receipts for it. It's a reimbursement of expenses. It's not personal money going to the MLA.
It's not personal money, but it enables the party to employ, say, councillors to work for MLAs, and that builds up their electoral base. So a lot of work they're doing is basically just for re-election.
Absolutely.
So although it's not going to their pocket, it's securing their future employment in a way.
I think that's politics too. But we are very clear too. There are rules at the moment, which again we have raised with the Assembly, that there needs to be a separation of functions between the councillors and the MLAs. A number of councillors do work for MLAs, that's legitimate, if they're working as MLA staff, not as councillors.
But we know that
there are numbers of councillors who are working in MLAs offices and advertising MLAs offices as their offices and their contact point. We have raised that with the Assembly. That's contrary to the determination, and we'll be looking that at again in the new determination.
So you had a situation there recently where one of my local councillors was on a library board.
Let's just stop there. No, Alex, I'm not comfortable in talking about an individual without us being across the detail. We're on a live radio programme and we're not going to do that. Have you, Alan McQuillan, have you been in touch with the Assembly to say what on earth is going on?
As a body, we wrote to the Assembly, I think approximately 3 to 4 weeks ago. We got a holding reply saying that some of these payments are made because of timing issues, interpretation and staff error.
Interpretation?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It means that they have decided to interpret, I assume they have decided to interpret our determination in a way that we don't interpret it, which we find difficult because at every stage, we involved the Assembly staff, the key Assembly staff, in helping develop the determination. We had legal advice from the Assembly's legal advisers in readying the determination. And we therefore don't understand what these issues of interpretation are. And they have not been raised with us in the last 4 years, as far as we can see.
So they're saying there was a matter of interpretation, and yet they didn't seek to clarify anything with you, and they didn't raise anything with you.
Well, in this particular case, it's difficult to see how interpretation could be an issue, because we have a rule that says you can only purchase research services by employing somebody directly as an employee to carry out the research for you. Now, I don't know how you interpret that into it's okay to employ a company, because it isn't okay to employ a company, and they know that the rule was specifically set up to stop that.
If you are a regulatory body, the public may indeed have questions about you, Alan, and your body, which one of which is the following. Why did your group not check your determination was being carried out for 4 years?
Well,
should you not have been checking since 2012?
Well, we did do, but we haven't. We again, we're back down again. So we don't have a legal role in checking or monitoring the work of the Assembly or the Commission or the Secretariat. Our role is very carefully defined, that we're simply there to set the rules. And we have had discussions on this point with the Commission and the Assembly in the past. So, you know, we're prescribed in terms of what we can do. That's why we wanted to have a reformed organisation that had a significantly wider remit. And that's what has been rejected.
This goes to the very heart of government in Northern Ireland, doesn't it?
I think it goes to the heart of how government is paid and funded. And there's a fundamental issue too around the amount of money that goes to the parties and how that is managed. Because, as I said before, most of this that we see is not about MLAs doing things for personal gain. It is about MLAs doing things to benefit the party, money going to the party. I mean, for example, we had an MLA who gave evidence in the High Court last week in a case.
Let's be careful with a live case, Alan.
Absolutely. No. It's a case, judgment's deferred. But the issue is this. In 2012, we inherited a situation where with one party, all the MLA's salaries and expenses were being paid direct to the party, into the party's account. And we said, that's fundamentally wrong. Every MLA has to have a bank account, and every MLA's expenses should be paid to that individual as an individual into their personal account. And that was done. Last week, this individual gave evidence in court that he did have a personal bank account, but he didn't control it. The party had taken it over.
Let's bring in Dennis in Whitehead. Morning, Dennis. 030 30 80 55 55. The regulator of Assembly expenses in Northern Ireland saying that MLA set up a secret appeal system to usurp the regulator's assessment. Dennis in Whitehead is a member of the public. What do you make of that?
It's being described there as just an absolute disgrace and shocking. Like, you know, we're constantly told there's no money and available for things like street lighting and cutting grass and for filling in potholes. But there seems to be plenty of money for the MLAs. And not only that, but it's been kept secret. Why has it been kept secret? And who approved it? It was somebody at the end of the day.
The MLAs approved it for themselves. Okay. Now, can I stress, and this is very important, when I say MLAs, it's not all the MLAs, and as Alan McCullen has said this morning, there are many, many MLAs who will be sitting this morning listening to this show saying that they absolutely fundamentally disagree with what's gone on here. But the point, Dennis, is this. The regulator, the person that is there to make sure that it is legit, they're making determinations, and not only is the Northern Ireland Assembly ignoring those determinations in some circumstances, they have set up, in the regulator's words, a secret system to get around the regulator's decision.
Yeah, well, you know, the question is, Stephen, why is it secret? And who decided it was going to be secret? And the degree of secrecy implies there's something that the public wouldn't like, or something that the public shouldn't know. Now, the question has to be asked is why. Like, Mark Carruthers raised this all yesterday on the Politics Show. And, you know, I'm not surprised you're following up on it, because some of the stuff that, you know, that was coming out in that was, the official people are being totally ignored.
If this was Edinburgh, Cardiff, Westminster, this would be, the Prime Minister would be taking questions on it.
Absolutely.
In PMQs in the House of Commons.
Absolutely. But here we are again. Like, how many times are we going to go down this road with these boys? But I'll tell you, one point that's important in this, Stephen, is that we have an election coming up in May. And it's important that this matter is clarified before that, so that when people are going to the ballot box, that they know exactly what the situation is with this.
So which MLAs appealed through the system? Who appealed it? Who was part of this secret, according to the regulator, appeal system? You want to know all that before an election, don't you?
Yes, we want to know, because this is an ideal time. We're only going to get this opportunity once every 4 years, and now this has come up now. And if this is allowed to go by the election, it means it's going to be another 4 years, but that time it'll be forgot about.
What's it say to you about the workings of part of the Assembly?
What it says is, Stephen, that it raises major concerns yet again. We've been down this road with the Assembly before over other issues regarding money. And, you know, what is being disclosed is truly shocking. And one has to ask the question, when is this ever going to end? When is it ever going to end? We don't know who's involved in it. We don't know how widespread it is. We don't know anything about it because we weren't meant to know anything about it.
Meanwhile, it's your money.
It's the taxpayers' money. Again, it's taxpayers' money. And at the end of the day, if it's taxpayers' money, the taxpayers are right to know what's going on.
Alan McQuillan, can I just walk through just one more time something with you? So the regulator, you are the regulator. So you make a determination.
Yep.
How does this appeal system work? Do they sit on a committee and vote on to overturn your determination, or what happens?
We don't know. We issue a document called a determination. Once we issue it, the Assembly, the Commission have no appeal. The law is structured in such a way that we issue a determination, deliver it to the Speaker, and at the point we deliver it to the Speaker, it becomes law. And that defines what members are and are not entitled to claim. And the Assembly staff are then responsible for applying those rules, making the payments, and those then go into the audited accounts.
Right, so I get that. So where's the appeal process in that?
Well, the appeal process appears to be, according to the IPSA report, that if a member is aggrieved because they can't get an expense paid or Assembly staff have rejected it because it's outside the rules, they can make an approach to the Commission, and the Commission may order the clerk to make the payment.
But there is a contradiction, Alan, in what you've just said there.
Mm-hmm.
You've said that when you make a determination, there is no, it becomes law.
Yes.
So if your determination becomes law, then how can the appeal system, how can the appeal system instruct a clerk to make a payment against your determination?
I cannot answer that. You will have to ask the Commission about that, because it's the legislation, in our view, is absolutely straightforward, but the Commission appear to have a different perspective on that.
Stay there, Alan. I want to continue this story. If you can stay there just another couple of minutes, we'll get your reaction today. I'm telling you now, this is a huge story. It is a very important story. Let's get your reaction today. If you don't understand it, pick up the phone and we'll try to walk you through what is happening. 030 30 80 55 55. Here's Tina with the news at 9:33. Sam McBride from the newsletter, listening to this story this morning. What do you make of this, Sam?
Morning, Stephen. Well, I think it certainly adds to public sense, I suppose, that this is some sort of a members club where the members are looking after themselves very well. Over the weekend, I was struck by a little comment. There was really no comment from any of the major parties about this issue. I mean, it first emerged on Friday after Jim Allister had asked a question about it.
Well, we'll be chasing them this morning.
Well, I think now we know why none of the major parties have been commenting on this. I mean, from what Alan McQuillan says, all of them have got questions to answer here. It's Sinn Féin that we know about in terms of these payments to Research Services Ireland, but who knows what else is under question from some of the other major parties.
What needs to